Welcome into the 9 o'clock hour, final hour of the program. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. Oren, did you ever have pumped up kicks?
I did not have pumped up kicks, no.
You never got into the pennies?
No.
Me either. Here's the most embarrassing thing I ever did. When I was like 6 and 7, I had Velcro shoes. Because I wasn't a good shoe tire.
The first pair I had, I remember in kindergarten with Velcro, and I loved them, and I wanted so much to never throw them away, and my mom did.
Yeah. I didn't love them. I was embarrassed, but I just wasn't a good shoe tire. Now I'm an excellent shoe tire.
Rate yourself well, huh?
I turned that weakness into a strength. I said I will not be shamed and prevented from wearing sneakers because I cannot tie my shoe. Yeah, that was a little embarrassing. Like, you know.
I mean, it happens.
It's okay. We learn and grow from it, right? The Braves need to learn and grow from stop bringing in crappy pitchers to try to pitch games. Eric Fetty is done for this first start for the Braves. Gave up 4 runs in 4 2/3 innings. Aaron Bummer is on the hill right now. Braves offense is and it is what it is, man. This is a lost year. It's going to be a lost year, but it's just overemphasized by the fact that you bring in 2 guys in Cookie Carrasco and Eric Fetty, who are both so far past their prime that, I mean, they both probably shouldn't be in the major leagues anymore. And here they are getting season-ending mop-up duty for the Braves, and it is what it is. I tweeted out jokingly at C. Thomas Radio, hit me up. Eric Fetty, excuse me, tonight is pitching exactly like, well, Eric Fetty. And that's exactly what he did tonight. Gave up 4 runs. The offense has done absolutely nothing. And here we are. And it's going to be a struggle to get through the rest of the season. Looks like Hurston Waldrip will get his shot. A couple of other kids from the minors, I'm sure. Because as I said last hour, the Braves are literally done with their starting rotation. Everybody not named Spencer Strider is presumably done for the year. Maybe Chris Sale gets a couple of starts. Maybe. I don't know about Schwellenbach. I haven't heard hide nor hair of him. Same thing with Ronaldo Lopez. Like, these guys aren't even talked about as potentially being close. It's just like, nope. They are all on the 60-day IL. So it is what it is. Grant Holmes, the latest victim of that, and Oren informed me last hour that he may be looking at Tommy John surgery. Yay!
Oh, TJ, yeah.
Oh, boy. So that means both he and Smith-Shawver would be gone until 2027. So then that becomes something else that AA is going to have to try to fix in the offseason. It is just a real hot, steamy, gross, smelly mess.
Big old pile of garbage.
Yeah, garbage at Truist Park right now. And they're not even at Truist Park right now. They're on the road. So it is what it is. I mean, if you can get something for Marcell Ozuna, fine. If you can get something for Pierce Johnson, whatever. Raisel Iglesias, don't know who in the world wants him. But if you can get rid of him, it is what it is. And I'll keep you posted. Maybe the Braves will mount a comeback and make it 2 in a row. But Seth Lugo's been pitching a gem tonight, and they just rewarded him with a fat new contract, too, in Kansas City. So good timing for him. But if the Braves bats decide to wake up, this is where you need to be. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, let's do a little bit of an NFL sound check here. A bunch more Falcons-related stuff, but also some stuff outside of the A that's going on. Let's start with Terry Fontenot. When he joined the morning shift, he was asked about the fights, and he was asked about, what is your opinion on, you know, when the guys get to scrapping, are you a fan or are you not a fan? And it's interesting because all show long we've been talking about James Pierce Jr. And he's the guy that was in the middle of it. And he's the guy that could be the catalyst for the defense this season. And this was the GM's response when he was asked about the scrapping.
You're talking earlier about the fights and there's some stuff going on a couple days ago. And, man, you have these really competitive groups that are doing whatever they can do to go out there and battle. And I know a couple coaches have said it. We got to go to that line and not cross that line. You'd rather have guys you got to pull back than guys you got to push. You know, so we'd rather have that. And so we know we'll manage it the right way and make sure we're doing things the right way and protecting our team in those ways. But we love that we have guys that are that passionate and that competitive.
Yeah, I mean, as long as it's not an every practice thing where you're pulling guys apart like super glue, I mean, that's fine. I like it. And as a matter of fact, I love it. Give me a little bit more. Again, don't be stupid, but, you know, show some passion, show some fire, show some urgency. Things that this Atlanta Falcons franchise desperately needs right now. Shannon Sharp, Unk, was on the radio station this week, and he was asked, of course, being a legendary tight end in his own right, about Kyle Pitts.
He does have a very, very unique skill set. He's a guy that's tremendous run after the catch. He's a big target. He can run good routes. So I'm expecting a big year, but he can only have a big year if he's healthy. And I had this conversation. I said, bro, when they start talking about these tight ends, they need to talk about you. You hear them talk about LaPorta, and they talk about McBride, and they talk about Hawkinson, and they talk about Travis Kelce. I said, bro, you have the ability. You can run routes like a receiver. You're fluid. You can drop your hips. You can get in and out of breaks. You can make tough, contested catches. You're great run after the catch. And he said, man, you know, you're right. He said, but I just got to stay healthy.
Yeah, and we'll see if he can do that this year. You'll hear from D-Led coming up in just a little bit. He said Pitts is participating, working his way back up to 100%, but when he is out on the field, he looks like he's giving max effort. He looks like he's running crisply. Well, crispy, too. He's on fuego, on fire. And he looks like he's a guy that's fully invested, and that's not something that has been the case the last couple of years, at least from an optics perspective. You'll hear that conversation with D-Led coming up in just a second. Shannon Sharp went on to continue talking about Kyle Pitts, specifically those injuries.
Well, I think the biggest thing is to stay healthy. It's hard to perform at an elite level when you're injured. Even the slightest nick can throw you off and it starts messing with your head. And plus, he had such an outstanding rookie year. There are not a whole lot of rookie tight ends that come in and off the clip, go get you a grand. And that's what he did. So the bar was raised extremely high. And he had to deal with a lot of different quarterbacks. He was dealing with injuries.
Yeah, and he's been trying to work his way back. And again, we keep hearing this. Oren, how many times have we heard this refrain? The Kyle Pitts injury from a couple of years ago was actually a lot worse than we thought.
Quite often, yeah.
Yeah, we keep hearing that. So how much and for how long was he impacted by that injury? How far off target from where he needed to be from being in shape and being able to run routes and being able to use his explosiveness has he been? Well, Kyle Pitts himself did a little tit for tat with Shannon and went on his podcast Nightcap, and he was talking about training camp and how he thinks he's going to be used this year.
It's a plan, following behind Coach Morris and, you know, what Raheem and you know, Coach Z-Rob has definitely put together for me for this camp and just entering this year. It's big on just, you know, like I said, buying in and, you know, trusting what they have. And, you know, it's I would say hybrid. Won't say, you know, a specific position. Definitely want to be hybrid because the more you can do, the better you are.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be used a lot more traditionally like a wide receiver than a tight end. I think that makes sense. I think it's a position for him where he needs to really showcase his skill set this year. And it's something that if you can get whatever you need, essentially just get whatever you need to get from him, however you need to get it from him. I don't care how it looks. I don't care what position he's playing. I don't care what kind of packages you're using. Just get him the dang football and have him be the Kyle Pitts that we all think he can be. This is probably, to me, the most interesting story outside of here in Atlanta is what's going on in Cleveland with their quarterback room. Kevin Stefanski, the head coach, was talking about the now injured right arm, Kenny Pickett. He's got dealing with something, and then the rest of the QB room.
It happened at the end of practice there a couple days ago, felt something, so we'll just treat it, you know, for any player. You're disappointed when you can't be out there with any injury, but he'll be fine. He'll rehab. He'll get back out very quickly.
Do you have a timeline?
I don't have a timeline. And, you know, with something like this, we'll see how it goes. But his mindset, my mindset, will just go day to day.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's not like they don't have other options, right? So Shadur can get more reps. Gabriel can get more reps. Flacco can get more reps. And you'll just go from there. They have counting Deshaun Watson, rather. They have five dudes. So one going down, I don't know, as much as it stinks, it's not exactly like your season is over right now because Kenny Pickett can't go right now. They'll split the reps among the rest of the guys. How about out of Pittsburgh, Aaron Rodgers, Jerry Dulac, longtime reporter there out of Pittsburgh. We've had him on the show before. He says Aaron Rodgers has been sensational.
His release is just astonishing to watch. Everybody knows about it, and when you see it in person, you see it every day in practice, you just marvel of it. You know, I think you guys have heard me say, to me, he's the greatest thrower of the football I have ever seen. And even at 41, that flick of that wrist, and that ball comes out, I mean, it's moving. And it is something to see.
Oren, you know what? I'll be damned. Riley with a homer. Ozuna with another homer.
Up in that value.
It's now 4-3. You know what? I just need to come on and just, when they're down, just start ripping into them. Clearly, this is a formula that's going to work for the rest of the season. When I'm on the air and the Braves start sucking, as they have been tonight, just mention it, start talking about it, and then all of a sudden things will just turn around. I think we found the winning formula for the rest of the Braves season in 2025. Seth Lugo had looked unhittable before this inning, and now it has all fallen apart in the top of the sixth. Baldwin's on second with two outs, and now it's 4-3. And the Atlanta Braves continue to be the most frustrating team in all of baseball because they can do this. They just don't, way more than they do. And it's really, really frustrating. But again, to Oren's point, if you're Marcell Ozuna, those pinstripes are going to be looking pretty good in a couple of days here. Or that Dodger blue is going to be looking good in a couple of days here, because we are just hours away at this point from the MLB trade deadline, which has been interesting. A couple of guys have been on the move, but big-ticket pieces like Eugenio Suarez still is out there. There's a couple of big-time relievers that are out there. We know Class A is not on the board anymore because he's dumb and decided to potentially bet on the sport, according to reports. So they're investigating him. Could he be moved? Is Cleveland going to move any of their other big pieces? Kwan, the outfielder. There's a lot that could happen over the next couple hours. And the Braves, they could be in the mix. I don't think it's – oh, my goodness. Wow. The lightning has been just crackling open in the skies here in Midtown. This is crazy. So if you're, you know, the Braves, I don't expect them to go out and make any major additions. Again, maybe sell off Marcell. Maybe Pierce Johnson gets moved. Bummer. Rysell, if somebody thinks they can fix him or make him an eighth inning guy. We shall see. All right, coming up next, if you missed my conversation with D-Led, we get a live on the boots on the ground report from D-Led as he stopped by. What does he think about James Pierce Jr., the state of the Falcons' practices, the physical play, and a whole lot more. That's coming up in 5 minutes. Don't go anywhere. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey app. Chris Thomas tonight. As we say on the radio station, they're always listening, watching, and judging. And we know that the Atlanta Falcons have been doing just that. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. Let's waste no time. Head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our special guest, D. Orlando Ledbetter. D-Led, make sure you check out his work in the AJC, especially this time of year when you get all of the Falcons training camp reports. D, how did it feel today when Drake London made it known that he was listening to you, my friend, and he shouted you out on the sideline?
Hey, I was cool, man. Me and Drake are good. He said, report that stuff, D-Led, because I reported his two drops and his two fumbles the other day. So when he made a great catch, he wanted to make sure I reported that also. That seems fair to me.
Yeah, that was a pretty funny moment there on the sideline. And it helps transition into the main topic I want to talk to you about tonight, and that is this discussion of a physicality, of a presence, of an edge that guys like James Pierce Jr. are setting the tone for the team. You've been covering this team a long time, D. Has this been one of the more physical camps that you remember?
Not really, but, you got to go all the way back to Harvey Dahl and Tyson Clavo, the lineman that, they I talked to some of the old guys. They were like, hey, yeah, sometimes that was they just did that to get us a break. Under Coach Smith and so forth. So, but it hasn't been that physical because, it's not two-a-days. They're not as short. Yeah, we had a couple fights, and they went through halfway through the pass today. So as far as bone crushing, pop hitting and stuff like that, you know, it's just a different day and time. But we did have a couple fights, and we haven't had them in a while, so that part of it was good to see.
Did you like to see the edge from the rookie James Pierce Jr. getting in the mix early? He's been causing a little bit of buzz around camp.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, because, he was going a little faster than the veterans wanted him to go this early in camp, you know. But he's trying to show people he's legit, you know, first-round guy. And so, you know, the linemen, they don't take too kindly to the rookie trying to show him up there on the first couple practices. So, they let him know that. And, he was cool about it. Leonard Floyd helped him out. He's got to learn how to practice as a pro is what they were trying to teach him. That was the lesson there. You can still go hard and fast, but, you know, you ain't got to really – jack your teammates, lift them up in the air and all that kind of extra stuff. Some of that was going on. So, a little bit of both. They got an understanding now, and look like today had a new kind of flow to it.
When you talk about Leonard Floyd, the vet coming in to help the edge rush, any reason not to believe he won't get his, 8-9 sacks that he usually does?
Yeah, he's done a good job late in his career. You know, he was a high draft pick. But something happened when he didn't get renewed in Chicago, and ever since then he's been one of the better pass rushers in the league. So I expect that to continue, and we'll see if he can match that here in Atlanta.
Talk to us about this kicking battle, D. It seems like both guys are taking it very seriously, and both have had strong outings so far.
Yeah, no doubt. Certainly the first day, Craig won that clearly hands down. The ball was booming off of his foot. And then today, Koo had a little bit more pop in his kicks. He had some nice, pretty end-over-end kicks. But both of them missed from 54, which, you need that to be kind of automatic, for you. 54 and 55. So, some technical points. Craig's a little bit further back on his kicks because they take off a little bit lower, which, might be a problem in the NFL. We'll look at that in the exhibition season if he can get his kicks up over the line. But he certainly got some power behind it. And we'll, just keep an eye on that, in that matchup there. But, yeah, he won the first day, and we'll call the second one a draw.
Talking about things to keep an eye on as we're chatting with our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter, make sure you check out his camp reports in the AJC. Anything to glean from Jalen Walker missing a couple of days?
The position coach says he's losing reps. He needs reps. He's learning a new position. But help is, important. They won't say he's injured. They're saying that he's working on something on his body. So I don't know what the – I looked over there. I couldn't tell what they were trying to work on, a footwork or upper body or agility or, whatever. But something happened after the second practice, and he's been working through some stuff and trying to get back onto the field.
How's it been watching Kyle Pitts ramp back up?
Yeah, he's getting some moderated practice time. You can tell he's trying really hard. He's going full speed the whole time, which, we can't say that's been the case for him at all times. And, building up after not having much going on the off season with him as they protected him for the foot injury he had. So you kind of got to be hopeful for him. If you want to see him do a bit better, he certainly seems to be on his path along the way. It's a wild off. We got a long off season to go here.
Everyone's been obviously so praising Bijan Robinson. D, is it possible he's looking even better than he has?
Oh yeah, no doubt. It's no hesitation in what he wants to do, and I've seen enough. I don't want him cutting out there anymore. I don't want him spinning on people and doing the double cuts, jump cuts. Yeah, he's got to get ready, but I don't want him. I don't save some of that for me for September 7th.
we got a couple of weeks to figure it out. We did hear from Kirk Cousins the other day. Raheem usually doesn't play anybody in the preseason that may play in the regular season, including a backup quarterback due to injury. You think he's going to get any run in the preseason?
Yeah, he'll get probably – I'm just going off of last year, and Penix is 24 snaps. You got maybe get Kurt that 24 and keep it moving in this Detroit game, the first game, and then just shut him down and get ready for the regular season, get him a couple snaps there in the joint practices and so forth. His plan worked last year. They got off – you know, the Pittsburgh game wasn't worth much, but then after that, you know, they got rolling there. And so whatever, you know, Raheem did last year, he needs to keep and do that again because he's got another tough schedule here to open the season with.
Arthur Blank, owner and chairman, spoke with our good buddy Steve Weishti over the weekend. He wouldn't lay out playoff demands or expectations, but acknowledged that, you know, time is running out here to get things turned around. Do you think there is an internal expectation, maybe even an unspoken one, between upper management?
Yeah, he spoke to us, to the local media, and Ken Segura wrote a nice column about, you know, he just kind of went right down the middle about his expectations. He said the same thing in 22, said the same thing in 23, but he didn't say, you know, playoffs are bust or heads are going to roll, you know, but given what's happened in the past, when expectations have not been met, there's usually some changes in Flowery Branch. So, you know, he holds folks accountable. Even the year when they were the number one seed and got blew out to the Packers, he blew out the coordinators. You know, so he's not a stand pat guy when you don't do absolutely well. That wasn't how he operated in Home Depot, and that's not how he operates with the Falcons. So anything short of, you know, not getting to the playoffs, you know, you probably need to win the division too, but if you do one of those and if you do both of them, then everybody's going to be in pretty good stead.
When it comes to a couple of more rookies, we were talking about Pierce and Walker earlier. Looks like Xavier Watts was getting in with the ones a little bit. What did you see from him?
Yeah, not much from him. He hadn't impressed me much. I've been focusing more on Fuller. You know, he's in position. You know, you can't really blow stuff back at safety when you're tagging people out. I mean, it's gym class hero type stuff. So we'll see how he does in live actions in the games and in the joint practices. But, you know, we know what he can do. We saw him play at Notre Dame. He's getting acclimated to the NFL. Jesse said he knows what to do. Now it's just taking it to the field. So he's a pretty sharp football player. But, yeah, I don't – you know, people start making grand conclusions off of them playing tag at practice right now. I kind of try to stay away from that until we get some real football. But, yeah, he looks great playing tag right now. He's a pro athlete. Most of them do look great out there playing tag because that's what it is. It's not football. But, yeah, he's coming along.
To that same effect, the nickelback spot looks like D. Alford is getting the reps with the ones. Is Billy Bowman, you think, still in the mix?
Yeah, he's still in the mix. You know, they got to be slow with that. That's a position change. So, you know, D's probably kind of showing them, you know, how to do it, you know, and he should be picking up some stuff from D. D knows where he's supposed to be and who he's supposed to cover and the assignments and stuff like that. So that's why he's ahead of Bowman at this juncture. But they'll start ramping him up and getting him in there more. He'll get some reps against the twos and threes and, you know, you know, as he gets ready for a new position. At some point, they'll have to throw him out there and see what he can do against some talent. But right now, it seems like they're letting him learn, you know, how that position is played at the National Football League level.
I guess it's usually a good thing when we've gone this long and haven't talked about it. It seems like all is well, at least early on, with Caleb McGarry being the protector for Penix.
Yeah, that's not – see, they're not looking at it as that because they're in the pistol and they're, you know, in the shotgun. So they're like, he's not a blindside tackle. But I'm like, I don't believe that because when he turns his back, he's the blindside tackle. So – you know, Caleb has struggled against elite speed. So, you know, it's something to keep an eye on. But, you know, they think because of formationally, you know, it's not a blind side, so to speak. You know, if you're under center a lot, then yeah. But, I mean, they're going to be running 11 out of shotgun and pistol. And so Zach Robinson and Raheem don't look at him as a blind side tackle, and neither does Ledford. So I don't know where everybody's – I know where it's come from because I've been harping on it too. I'm like, if he's the blind side tackle, you probably got issues. But they plan to attack straight ahead out of the pistol and the shotgun, and that's they believe that minimizes that whole old concept of the blind side tackle.
All right, fair enough. Well, with that said, how has Neusel looked? Has he been adjusting as the starter just fine?
Yeah, he's just fine. You know, you see him climbing, you see him on his double teams and getting to the second level, which is what he did, you know, last year. He's laterally, he can get inside and out. I want to see him in one-on-one in the bull rushes. Kurt said he can anchor, and he said he said that's the best thing to a quarterback is that, hey, if that center can anchor up the middle and control the bull rush, you know, then you are, you know, you got time to look down the field. You're not going to be, you know, worried about anybody coming up through there. So they said he can do that. He's doing that well in practice thus far, and we'll get to see him against some pretty good tackles there from Tennessee when they come to town.
Great stuff, D. Appreciate the time as always. We'll check you out in the AJC and we'll talk soon.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Turtle. Have a great evening.
All right. That is the great D. Orlando Ledbetter there giving us the scope and the skinny from Flowery Branch. Appreciate him stopping by as always. When we get back to finish up the show, got a bunch more sound I want you to hear from Raheem Morris, Zach Harrison, Michael Penix Jr., and others as they were speaking today at Flowery Branch. Braves are still trying to fight back in this one. It's 4-3. Eric Fetty wasn't good, but I don't think anybody out there expected him to be. So we shall see if the Braves bats can continue to be the comeback kids as they have been more than a couple of times this season. Unfortunately, more times than not, they do not come back. Yeah. It's just been one of those years for the Braves, but we'll continue to talk Falcons and all that positivity to wrap up the show. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle hanging out with you till 10 on a Tuesday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Last chance for romance here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until the top of the hour. Oren Romaine, if I gave you one guess at how the Braves bullpen is doing tonight after the
poorly.
Braves. Yeah, after the Braves offense.
Poorly.
So if you missed it, Eric Fetty made his first start for the Braves tonight after being picked up off of the scrap heap, unfortunately, as we like to call it. He went 4 2/3 innings, gave up 4 earned runs, and was not good. So the bullpen came in. They've been trying to hold it down.
They have not held it down well.
Held it down, they have not. Aaron Bummer came in, pitched 2/3 of an inning, gave up 2 runs. And our guy, De Los Santos, has already given up a run of his own. So now it's 7-3. And I don't think a comeback. Another comeback is in the works. Could they? Last time I did this about an hour ago, Oren, they came back. So maybe if I just continue to do this.
Hey, let Marcel hit another home run. That just adds to the value, his trade value. So.
Yeah, because Riley hit a home run, and then Ozuna hit a 2-run shot, and all of a sudden it was 4-3.
You see Max Fried's line tonight?
No, I haven't.
6 2/3, 2 earned runs, 9 strikeouts, 2 walks.
Yeah, that's how he's been all season. He's been great. He had a little bit of a blister on me finger issue.
He's in line for what, his 12th win now? Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to win 16, 17 games. He's going to probably be a top 10 AL Cy Young Award finisher.
Yeah.
If not higher than that. And the Braves had Eric Fetty going tonight.
So Eric Fetty.
Yeah, so that's how Eric Fetty wop. That's how things are going tonight. Because you know what, Oren? Kind of looked like he was pitching out there with one eye.
You know what? Was just thinking the same exact thing, Chris.
Great minds think alike. We do spend 4 hours together each and every single day, you and me here in the lovely Kia Studios. All right, before we head home and I am not walking home, I'll tell you that. Somebody's making that $6.50 Uber it takes me to drive a mile up the road, because I'm not getting out there in that thunder and lightning. That's for damn sure. A bunch more Falcons spoke today that I did want you to hear from. So let's get to some more of that sound here. Oh, let's start with Raheem Morris. And he said he didn't have to sit down any guys to address the fights going on at camp, that everybody just knows we got to cool it down a little bit. Raheem Morris addressing, it is in my folder, Oren, for the day, one of the cuts I put in there. Raheem Morris didn't. Oh, okay, no problem. So let's move on to, you got it now? All right, yeah, let's play that. Raheem Morris didn't sit guys down to address any of the fights.
They feel like that to the outside eye looking in, but realistically, that's like every day and every down type of things. So they never get personal. You just talk about the reason and why you don't want it. And the most important reason is losing work. The most important it is waste of time. And the most important part about it is having to stop it and even bring them up to just address it at those moments. So, like, you don't want to waste time. You don't want to, you want to eliminate and mitigate most foolishness as you possibly can. You know, it's not allowed within the framework of our game. It's not allowed within the framework of what we do on Sundays. So, you know, just treat practices and games the same way.
Foolishness, he calls it. Okay. All right, coach, tell him. I ain't mad at you. Lay the smackdown on him if you gotta. I don't care. Whatever gets this team back to the playoffs, I don't care. Do whatever you gotta do, coach. He also talked about finding a, quote, clone for Mooney. Is that what DJ Shark is here to do?
Unfortunately, or however you want to look at it, last year we had to deal with it at the end of the season in our last Carolina game. We got a chance to see Ray McLeod step up and play some X. Right? He's able to move out to Mooney's position, and you know, whether you know or not, those positions are really interchangeable in what those guys are able to do because of the separation skills and some of the same skill sets. We got a chance to see a young guy like Casey Washington be able to accumulate more reps the other day and to be able to watch him go out there and grow and perform and be the best version of himself and what he's able to do because he's able to get more reps and be able to go prove himself in those settings, in those call it settings or those Mamba settings or those move the ball settings, and to be able to go watch him play. And then you got the other guys behind him who do some of the cross training like a Chris Blair, like a Polk. And then also we just signed DJ Chalk. Right, so that gives opportunity for those guys to be able to go show some opportunities at the spot that Mooney plays. When you're talking about the guy that's the deep threat, you're talking about a guy that can run the intermediate routes, you're talking about the guy that can move inside, move around, do different things, and provides that speed element that Mooney definitely provides to us. So you'll get a chance to see some of those guys get those opportunities. And it's hard to replace, you know, your starting X, your Mooney, but we got people in place that are clone-like to be able to go in there and do some of those things for us that we're going to need to get done. And it's fun to watch those guys do it as well.
Yeah, Chris Blair and Casey Washington are the guys that stood out to me last year, and they got a bunch of run in the preseason, so I would expect a little bit more of that in year two for Washington. I'm not sure what year it is for Chris Blair, maybe three or four. But those are two guys that you could see that they look the part. They look like they could be legitimate NFL receivers and are not guys that are just being thrown out there to try to fill space and replicate what Darnell Mooney can do. Oren, it's gotten worse since the last time we spoke about 3 minutes ago. It is now 9-3 as the Atlanta Braves are struggling to keep this one close. It is now a 6-run deficit. Something's going on right now, but I'm not going to mention it until I figure out what's going on.
Fair enough.
So we will see what happens there with the Braves. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Kind of caught betwixt in between here. I don't have, full disclosure, I don't have the sound up in the studio, obviously, because I'm doing the radio show. And I didn't see what happened. Ronald Acuña Jr. was just replaced in right field by Eli White in the middle of an inning, and I don't know why. So I don't want to scare anybody. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm not trying to play shock jock. I genuinely just – I'm going to refresh Twitter.
He got benched.
He got benched?
He got benched.
What did he do? Did it say?
No, I'm sorry. Never mind. He got hurt. Looks like he got hurt.
Okay, Ronald Acuña Jr. being lifted from this game after running for a double in right center and just not being able to get there Eli White has checked into the game.
Yeah, Ronald was pulled because of an injury.
Yay!
Oh, my goodness. Orn, shut him down. Like, I'm not even joking. Shut him down. Like, for what? What are we doing at this point? I know he just got back. You know, he's played like 2/8 or like 2/7 of the season. I don't care. Sit him down, man.
From Mark Bowman.
Ugh.
Acuna moved gingerly toward a ball that was in foul territory and then was removed after he raced to get a ball in right center. Might be precautionary. Certainly no reason to take any chances.
I'm so over it, Orin. I'm so over it. Sit him down. Sit him. I don't need to see him play another second of baseball in 2025. I don't. For what? For what? Chris Sale, hurt. Lopez, hurt. Smith-Shawver, hurt. Holmes, hurt. Schwellenbach, hurt. You're not winning. This bullpen sucks. They just gave it up again right now. De Los Santos stinks. Bummer stinks. Johnson stinks. They all stink. Iglesias stinks loud, badly. If Ronald Acuna Jr. is hurt again, I give up. I mean, I don't
By all accounts, though, it doesn't look like anybody's saying that it's very – it doesn't – that serious, but
– It never does.
It never does.
It never does. Does it? It's always, well, it's, you know, we'll check – Snit will give you the, well, yeah, you know, we banged it up a little bit, and we'll check on it, and we'll see. When it rains, it pours, man, like literally and figuratively in this case. As it's been raining outside all night. It's just, when you think about a loss.
Not great, Bob.
No, and when you think about a lost season, right, there's different types of lost seasons. There's lost seasons because of injury. There's lost seasons because of ineffectiveness. There's lost seasons because of both. And then there's this, where there's been catastrophic injury after catastrophic injury, followed up by bad play, followed up by one guy getting hot and another guy getting cold. As Michael Harris Jr. finally heats up, Riley goes cold, Olsen goes cold, and you're just left in a situation that you're in right now. And then Ronald Acuna Jr. pulls up lame trying to make a catch. You can't even make it up. Again, if he even has, you know, you remember that chart in the doctor's office where it's like, how much does it hurt? And it's all the smiley faces.
The faces, yeah. Rate your level of pain, yeah.
Even if he's in the green, sit him. Sit him! For what?
There's no need at this point. Huh?
No! I don't care how badly he wants to play. I don't care. He's, if not the best player in baseball, top five. But he can't stay healthy.
So we're waiting now to see if there's any official word from the Braves before this game.
I'm sure it's going to be something like Ronald Acuna Jr. was removed as a precaution for hamstring tightness. Like, it's going to be something like that because it always is. And then there'll be imaging, and then we'll get an update after the game from Stan. Well, you know, it's just something that he's dealing with. You know, he felt it, and it was a little tight, and we'll figure it out. And then 3 days from now, it's Ronald Acuna Jr. has been placed on the IL, retroactive to June 29th.
Yeah, you know, he's
that's I've never heard of a human have hairballs the way that Brian Snicker does.
Just a casual conversation.
Brian,
what did you even do before you walked in here to have your throat like that? Like, there's nothing in the environment that would lend to even having your what are you walking through?
It feels like he takes like 8 or 9 Lumen cough drops at a time, and it just builds. It's just all that build up in the back of his throat.
He just saves and it for post game.
And then he spits them all out right before he gets to the microphone and just comes to the mic fully loaded every single time. Just gunk. It's so gnarly. And so is the Braves. And that'll put a bow on tonight's show.
How about that?
How about
that? We go from Falcon sound and optimism to Braves bringing us right back down the crapper again, yes.
It's really unbelievable. All right, we'll talk on Thursday. I'm off tomorrow for Atlanta United. Speaking of downers, they play a midweek match in League's Cup. We'll see if they can at least get something out of that tournament. And then I'm back with you on Thursday, same time, same place, 6 to 10. As always, if you miss anything from this week, I'll put up a best of tomorrow since I won't be on the air. All the best content from the show this week leading up until the off day tomorrow. Appreciate Big O. Appreciate all my guests. Appreciate all the positive Falcons talk trying to mask this misery going on with the Braves right now. Back with you on Thursday. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app.